Oh, hang on. Here we go.
Two grumpy old men.
Two grumpy old men. You've turned into two grumpy old men. It's The Hang with Mike and Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Mike.
It's commiserating.
Bro.
We couldn't even start the show because we were too busy commiserating.
We were ranting and raving like two just get off my lawn kind of guys.
God, see, Trace, you know, Trace does a show and he's like, he can't tell whether he's influenced by us, or, but he's like, man, I'm turning into that get off my lawn guy and I'm only 33.
It comes fast and furious.
I'm definitely that get off my lawn. I'm mad at everything. Everything makes me mad now. I think it's just because the way things are. It's like, I didn't used to be mad at nothing.
Well, before we crack the mics, we're just talking about like, and not to start the show on a sour note or anything like that, because trust me, there's good stuff in tonight's Hang.
Oh, as always.
I've got something of epic proportions.
Oh my God.
Later on.
I mean, the Russ Martin stuff was pretty sensational.
This is better.
Oh, see? That's a lot of hype. Okay.
It's
all right.
Way better. I've got something in this plastic bag here.
Yes.
That is pretty spectacular.
This is the long con, isn't it?
There's no.
You've got that picture of Stormy Daniels blowing me, don't you?
Oh, man. Well, but this is something else. Related.
Oh.
But, yeah. No,
so you can save that for a while, right? I mean, you can do it whenever you want. Doing it right now?
Wait. All right, well,
I don't care. I honestly don't care. But I don't want to see it. But I don't care when you do it. At your leisure.
Yeah, we'll do it later.
It's the Hang with Mike and Matt.
Yeah. Well, before we crack the mics,
we've been talking here for half an hour. So.
Yeah, and we're just two frustrated dudes who are looking at our property taxes and the cost of living and the cost of life and like what your kids are going to go through. And yeah, it feels like heavy. And like you said, you went for the first time in my life, like politics, no matter what you like. It feels like it's affecting, and I'm thinking the same thing. It feels like it's affecting me, but I can't quite describe it. It just feels like everything's super heavy.
Yeah.
And I don't know how other people are doing it. And that's what's really frustrating to me.
Yeah. I don't think it used to be super heavy for the middle class. Like, when I grew up, my dad was a middle class. You know, he was a principal. He made like 40 to 50,000 a year. So he had a house, and I didn't even notice if there was really high inflation. Nothing really changed in my house, and then so I never noticed any highs or lows. But my parents certainly never came to me and said, you know, Mike, you'll never be able to own a house. They never said that to me, you know.
Now
you have to say that to your kids.
It's like the easiest thing to say to your kids, unfortunately. It's like, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. Nope. There's like I was telling you earlier, like it was like just looking at, you know, a piece of property. It was like a 3-2 trailer on an acre lot, and it was $500,000. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
The median price for a house in America is in the higher mid 400s, I think. And it's like, what kind of Shangri-La are we living in that everybody's going to live in a $450,000 house? And this, I don't even understand what that means.
Are they trying to do some sort of like great migration? Like for us locally here, it's like, well, you can't live here. Gotta head north. So it's like, okay, you head north into the what we would refer to as the sticks, right?
Yeah.
But like, are they just pushing everybody towards the sticks in general? Like, is this the next evolution of going, well, time to take up those little small towns? I can't figure it out.
It's not easy to figure out. Maybe they're trying to draw, you know, who's buying all these houses?
China.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like Berkshire Hathaway, BlackRock. So they want a nation of renters. Not only will you not own a house, you won't even pretend to own a house anymore. Now you're just going to rent your house in perpetuity. Everybody. Yeah. Everybody. And that's what they want. See who's getting... The American dream was to own your own house. Maybe you could give it to your kids one day. I don't know. Ain't nobody getting a house from their parents now.
Bro, you got to. No. You got to get out from under it.
Man,
get a little cash for yourself and call it a day. And everybody's got to make their own way. And if you hand something down, if you pass away or whatever, great. But like, it almost like you can't. It's like a barrier to entry of living now. Of, okay, I'd like to pass this down to my children, but what am I going to do? Like,
Let's get even.
You know what I'm saying?
Get even glummer.
Oh, no.
Okay, what are you going to do? You know, almost every person's parents nowadays will enter some form of elder care.
Which is expensive.
It's almost guaranteed. And it's like $5,000
a month?
$5,000-$6,000 a month. Unless you're going to put them at some bad place. So it's like, who's got that? what are you talking about? Oh, by the way, granny's crazy. You have another mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's just, I don't know how that's going to work.
Or granny lives with you and drives you insane until the time comes.
Until you take out granny. Until you take her out. I think that's going to lead to a rash of that. That's what it's going to lead to.
Dude, well, and then, you know, the baby boomers, which, are you considered baby boomer generation? I don't know what the cutoff line is, honestly.
What's after baby? Gen X? What's after boomer?
I don't know.
I'm probably a boomer. Would I be more than a boomer? What's before a boomer?
I don't know.
I don't know. Less than by less.
Silent film era. You're not there. No.
I don't know what I am.
You're like a young boomer.
Okay, I mean,
I think.
I don't know. I'll say I'm a boomer.
The boomers are eventually, like, you know, that's the largest class of folks that are, you know, it's the next, God, it sounds terrible to say, but, you know, like, eventually all that's going to, but then you get into the millennials or Gen Xers or whatever, and I don't know how many of those folks know what the hell's going on.
I think not a lot. I think it's, you know, and it's not their fault.
No.
It's like, I think here's like one of my theories.
Get off my lawn.
One of my theories is.
We need to rename the show, Get Off My Lawn.
I think that's the key right there. Get off my lawn. Mm. See, people got smartphones and they got addicted to these smartphones. And now everybody goes to dinner and they're on their smartphone and, you know, they're not talking to their kids. And all the things that you used to like hand down to your kids or that you heard from your parents. You're parented by the internet, and nothing's getting passed down. We got no traditions. Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows jack shit.
I love the fact that we're doing this on Twitch, which is a notoriously young gamer community. It's the best. That is the best ever.
That's true.
Think about it. There's chicks doing ASMR. There's other people just playing video games of Halo Fortnite. And we're going, get off my lawn. Property taxes. It really is the best rib going. Like, it's hilarious.
Oh, stay off my lawn. Welcome to stay off my lawn.
We're one of a kind on Twitch. We're one of a kind. We're one of one.
Nobody's even trying to do this.
Oh, and my God.
Don't even think you could do this.
Like, no.
We can yell, get off my lawn, better than anybody.
We need to yell, get off our lawn, while we have remote, like a PS5 controllers in our hands and a headset. And we're yelling at each other, like, fuck you, get off my fucking get off my lawn. And then we'd get the masses with come and go,
whatever it takes.
What game are they playing? They're playing a game called Get Off My Lawn?
I could never learn to play a game enough to, you know, to even want to. It's so late to the game, it's like, you know, that's not going to help this channel, is to see me and Trace playing shitty games, I don't think. And on Friday nights, we're going to play shitty games.
We're going to play Mortal Kombat from 93. Up, up, down, down, left, Atari. Right, left, right, B-A-B-A, start. That was Contra. That's right. That was
Atari
Contra.
Volleyball.
Pong. We'll get an old Pong machine and just have the two lines.
Boop, boop. We'll have that going.
While we yell, get off our lawn.
I wonder if we could, how well we could play Pong while we, like, you know, it'd have to become like second nature.
Oh, multitasking? Not our thing. We can't even read chat, or like much less. We'd be so confused.
Maybe you'd become like a drummer or a guitar player, and if you can sing at the same time, we just be, like on the left corner of your eye, you're looking. Maybe you got a Pong screen behind you, and I got the same one behind me, so we can just stare at each other and play Pong.
Boop. I had Pong when I was good.
It was awesome.
It was sweet.
It was so good.
Dude, the whole reason I got an iPhone, I remember like when they came out or whatever, and I was like, man, I don't really care about having an iPhone. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. Like, I don't need it. I'm just like, what am I doing, right? But then my buddy showed me this game called Unblocked. And it's like where you move these blocks around to try to solve these puzzles. And I go, oh, my iPhone doesn't have that. So I guess I need to get the iPhone. And that's the sole reason I got an iPhone, was to play Unblocked. That was it. Other than that, I would have adapted by now, but I would have been pretty cool for a while, still not having
a
smartphone.
I can't remember why I had to. I think I just had to. They like made it impossible to own any other phone.
That's it.
That's what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you had to do it. Like they were like, you know, Donna was holding on to her phone, her flip phone.
Yes.
Holding on, and she's like, she loved it.
Yep.
It was her baby.
You know when you hung up on somebody?
A click.
You know when you're going to make it a call?
Yeah. And then finally they're like, hey, you know, we're turning that phone off. She's like, no, I own this phone. I have for years. He said, nope. No service for your phone. And so, yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
You got to buy an iPhone.
Dude, stuff changes. I was looking at it. Apple was talking about, oh, they're coming out with a 13-inch iPad. That's their newest product. And I'm going, I don't even know. Like, that's a thing. Like, who gives a shit? Like, so they're coming out with a 13. Like, what's the big deal about that? Like, they've
run out of things.
Yeah. Like, and the best is, for a while there, they were making the iPhones are like smaller, right? They're like, oh, this one's 10% smaller than the last iPhone and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, one year they go, bigger is better.
Yeah.
And they started expanding the iPhone again. I'm going, what are we living in? How are they just.
Now,
how do they just play? They just played the world
did.
For years of going smaller, more compact, and then they go bigger, bigger screen. And now Android comes out and they got the fold phone with like even bigger screen, double screen. Like, I just
preposterous.
Can't. It's very weird to me.
And then one year, I mean, it got so big to me that it was cumbersome.
Yes.
And it, like, well, didn't it look like it would barely fit in its pocket? And it's,
you think it probably looks like you get a hard on?
It does. And you know, you don't really see a lot of people walking around with those anymore, do you? It's like, I think people would be embarrassed. It's like, they got you on that one for one, you know, then you were like, no, this sucks.
Oh, bro. The worst was the Nextels. Those were, we called them the brick.
Yeah.
The bricks were brutal because you could get a hold of anybody at any time with the little side thing. Blip,
yeah.
Blip.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. Blip, blip. And then they,
the dogs don't like the blip blip.
But the Nextels were brutal.
Shush.
Which dog Shush. Is that one? Which?
That's Bella. She's the one that hates trays. Go lie down. Go lie down. Good doggy. No more sound effects from you.
Get off my lawn. Here we are.
The dogs are barking. Quit your barking.
Beep, beep, beep.
Go lie down. Well, maybe there's some AARP network, you know, we could get involved with.
What do you mean?
Be the hip show. You know, wherever they market to seniors and talk radio.
I'm not a senior, though. That's the
messed
up part. It
doesn't matter. I'm senior enough, and we talk about it.
But here,
they'll hip it up. See, I got to hip it up.
But how screwed up is that, is the fact that my mentality is older than I actually am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've advanced. Like, my age is like, I'm an advanced age state, and I'm not even there. Because the rest of society underneath me seems really fucked up. To where my age, I'm progressively.
You got some kind of weird Benjamin Button thing going on. Yeah. I can't figure it out. But I definitely see it.
I got an old English 800 sweatshirt, but I'm yelling, get off my lawn. I know.
You're confused.
I'm very confused.
Very confused.
Life is confusing. It really is.
Yeah, it's very, very, interesting. Feels like it's all coming to a head. I think they're trying to make you think it's all coming to a head.
Well, I don't like the fact that when I go on Drudge Report or whatever, and they're like, oh, 41% of the world thinks we're headed for nuclear war. It's like, that's almost one out of two. That's a problem. Can we scale that back? I'd like to see the numbers down around 4%, where it's just a conspiracy theorist going, oh, yeah. But almost one out of two people are basically going, yep, we're going to get blown back into the Stone Age. And everybody's just like,
yeah.
La-di-da.
Yeah. So maybe that's what they want. They're like, yeah, we want everybody to be ready for nuclear war. Then we'll figure out a way to make money on it. And we'll do a limited nuclear strike on some, you know, they'll do something. They don't care.
So weird.
Yeah.
Well,
welcome to the hang.
Boy. Yep.
You get off my lawn is now over. Probably not. It'll probably come back. It comes back. Occasionally, you have a get off my lawn outburst, which is every like 12 minutes.
You damn kids out there playing your video games on Twitch.
Yeah.
You just do ASMR.
You shove your pronouns up your ass.
We'll just do ASMR. We'll just eat some granola.
I wonder if there's a show that I'm... Oh, God, how annoying.
It's totally. I don't get it at all.
We did the exact same show that we do now, The Hang, but we talk like this.
It's quieter.
It's very quiet. Get off my lawn.
And occasionally I'll talk like this.
Oh, Lord. Get off my lawn. ASMR.
I don't even know what ASMR stands for.
Audio sensory. I have no idea. I used to know.
It shouldn't even be a term. It shouldn't even be. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So satisfying. So satisfying to hear the nails click on the microphone.
People are so pretend weird. Everybody's pretend weird.
There
now.
Is pretend weird. Like the people that dress up like the animals and they're all that. It's pretend
it's
weird.
Pretend you just it's, everybody wants
now get off my lawn.
Everybody wants attention so bad. They're dressing up like cats to go to elementary school.
They're wearing cat ears and dog costumes and I don't know what.
I feel the same way you do. It's like used to be that would be everybody could look at that and say that's weird, that's stupid, we can't allow that. But now it's you're a normal person and you've turned into the get off my lawn guy. They've made you the get off. Being normal.
I'm like,
we're just being normal.
Yeah, I'd be like, you're not a cat. I am a cat. You're not a cat. Like, no. Shut up, old man. Like, no, but you're not a cat. Yes, I am. Like, it's so weird.
You're just not a cat. How about rationally saying that without being the old man, you know?
You can't because even if you say it, you sound like the, hello, Twitch.
Supposedly, things are coming back the other way, making a circle back.
As evident by the Tom Brady roast.
That's what they say. That sounds almost like.
Did you watch it?
I saw the clips of it.
Pretty solid. It was a little long for my liking. It was like a nice 3-hour
that's
watch.
Great. That's too much. That's arrogant.
It was a little much.
That's a lot. 3 hours.
But it was good. It was good. I think it was smart for them to do it live because, you know, if they didn't do it live, half of those jokes would have been edited out from the jump, right?
That's true. Yep.
So instead, by doing it live, it almost like, well, what can you do? We did it live, you know, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Biden just signed it. I see we're getting to keep putting this stuff. Biden signed that thing like eliminating gender discrimination from Title IX when the basis for Title IX was that it finally gave women an equal footing in athletics in high schools and colleges. That's what the whole Title IX was.
All right.
It's like you got to quit spending all the money on the boys. You got to give the girls something too. So, that's great. The spirit behind that was right, and it gave a lot of women opportunities to, excel in athletics and get the kind of money for softball that, they did not. and he's like now he's saying they're not going to discriminate on gender, so you can be whatever you want to be and play for whatever team. And it's like you're just destroying Title IX, right? Doesn't that just destroy Title IX?
What you're saying makes sense. You had me at softball funding. I can't process past that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You don't think softball should be funded?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I get it.
But if the school makes, like, you
nobody's
know,
making money off of softball.
No, but if they make $300 million a year on football, well, everybody's paying fucking tuition, too. So they're making a boatload of money.
I don't know. The capitalist in me says go all in on football.
It's not a money. It shouldn't even be a money-making enterprise. the reason the whole university exists is to make our young people better, and to, by offering women a chance to play sports, which is a really, playing sports really develops a lot of character, keeps young people out of trouble. Yeah. So it should be done absolutely. When we got the money that these government institutions, fucking.
See, it's a good thing I'm not the president of a university. I would go. All right.
No, you do good. See, I'd be kicked out.
I would say, all right, look, what sports team, what do we have here? What's the sports? Let me go check out the games. And I'd go to the football game and I'd go, wow, pretty good crowd. I like this. I'd go to the men's basketball game and go, wow, all right. Even if we're getting our asses kicked, still got a little spirit out there, whatever. And then I'd go to the men's baseball and I'd go, all right, we'll keep it. It's fine. And then I would go to the women's basketball. I'd go, looks pretty desolate around here. And then I'd go to women's soccer, women's softball, et cetera, until me being the president of the university, I had chopped off basically all the women's sports because it doesn't seem like they make any money. Now, yes, it develops character. That I agree with. And this is totally sexist of me. I get that. But, I mean, did you ever go to a women's sport in high school? Like, did you ever go to a women's game at all, ever?
I'm not, like, I don't, you know, I'm a big proponent of women's sports. I don't watch a lot of it.
Then how are you a great proponent of women's sports if you don't you don't even watch it? No, you're not
I think it should exist. Like, when my daughter played sports, I loved it. It's like,
that's because it was your daughter playing.
Colleges, you know, they're institutes, you know, where you send your children to be good. This is, they're state funded, and many of them are run by our tax dollars.
Yes,
and they're to make, you know, people better, and they offer intramural sports. Why do they offer those intramural sports? They're not making any money on them.
It's to give the kids something to do. That's it's to socialize them with people of like minds, and then they go out and get drunk afterwards.
They don't make any money off of it.
No, but they don't make any money off women's softball.
I'm pressed, but that proves my point. They should cancel the intramurals.
They absolutely fine. Just keep men's football. basketball, baseball.
Baseball barely scrapes.
Hockey
by.
In the north.
In the north, yeah.
You know,
I mean, we don't even, like, you know, the Lightning. You know, there's no breeding ground for Lightning hockey players in Tampa. There's no
farm them out up north.
There's no universities at any of these colleges down here that play hockey, is there? At all?
I don't think so.
They might have some clubs, but, you know,
they tried to get lacrosse going for a little while. Lacrosse is big, I think, in other parts of the country.
I think it is.
Down here.
Sorry to hear that.
It's just never really.
Don't get me started. That's one of I don't have a lot of, you know, pet peeves, but boy, I don't like lacrosse.
What do you have against lacrosse?
I'm a lacrosse hater. Stupid.
You hate lacrosse like I hate pickleball.
Oh, I hate pickleball too, but not like I hate lacrosse. It's just running around twisting their little things, banging each other with sticks like a bunch of fairies. And then you got the poor guy with a butterfly net who sits in front of the goal and gets 100 mile an hour.
Pegged at him?
Pegged shots at him. And he pretends to go after it. And just out of luck, he stops every three. It's like the most preposterous sport ever.
Yeah, it is kind of preposterous, isn't it?
And there's some really great athletes who are amazing lacrosse players, but you're an amazing player at a stupid sport.
Dude, yeah. My son tried to play lacrosse.
So did mine. He didn't like it.
He tried to get into it, right? And did it for like about a year, whatever. I remember Googling at the time. I was like, highest paid lacrosse player. Like, for real. And this is years back, right? But I Googled it, and I think the premier player was making, like, I don't know, 75 grand a year. Now, he had endorsements and stuff like that to supplement. But it's like, okay, you're the best. You are the best player, and you're making 75 grand a year. Like, that doesn't give the younger generation a lot of hope of going, like, baseball, you can get signed for $500 million now, right? Like,
yeah, I don't think the best athletes are going into lacrosse.
I don't. I mean, maybe they shouldn't have gone. Maybe they are the best athletes and they should have just gone into something else.
Yeah. But who duped them into that? Boy, that's a crime.
Yeah.
Some coach got a hold of him and he's going to be a great lacrosse player. And little did you know.
Son really needs you on that lacrosse field.
Most useless sport ever.
You imagine being a pissed off coach, seeing a 6'9" dude out there playing lacrosse? Be like, oh my God.
Where did they go wrong?
What are you doing here? Why are you here? Get on the court.
He's really good. He's twisting his stick. He cradles. It's called cradling. Get it right, man. Cradling. Well, I'm cradling the fuck out of this ball.
I didn't know you were so anti-lacrosse. That's interesting.
Not anti a lot of things. You know, anti-lacrosse.
It sounds French.
Supposedly the Native Americans played it.
Do we have anything in chat? We haven't even looked at this yet. I know.
Reading is difficult.
I don't even know how long. Yeah, we haven't done anything yet. We've just been yelling, get off my lawn. Which is fun sometimes.
You get fed up. I mean, it's like, man, can't we just have like a rational, cool society like we used to? And that used to, everybody's, you know,
yeah,
we messed in anybody's business.
Debatable.
Not like they do now. I mean, like, I don't think that like any great societal changes. My whole life, I just cruised through my life and everything was fine. I don't remember any kind of racism or anti-Semitism.
You do realize what you did on a daily basis
was
make fun of people, make fun of...
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that.
All right, but I'm saying, like, you know...
It doesn't mean I'm racist.
No. I don't mean that. But I mean, you know, you... I'm not saying you got off on what you did for a living, right? But...
Yeah, I did.
You Yeah, you kind of got off on it, right?
Big time.
So it was your outlet. That was your outlet.
Yeah.
Other people don't have that outlet, so they get real pent up, you know, real frustrated. And then I think that's where the social media comes into play, and then they let all their thoughts fly. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. I was just thinking, yeah. Before I got into radio, I was doing bits just, you know, for the fun of it. Just writing stuff.
Oh, I'd
just
love to hear those.
I just write stuff, you know, and occasionally just stuff like a tape recorder. And they're all like, you know, all blue. You know, I was working dirty from day one.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I remember when, I don't know, the cuck had gotten fired and all that, and they stuck me with this, that dude, Puddin'.
Puddin'.
And I they sat me down and they went, oh, he's they try to do this whole thing like, oh, he doesn't really work blue. He's real cerebral in his approach. He's very cerebral.
Cerebral.
And I was like, okay. And I saw how cerebral it was. And I was like, he just doesn't know how to work blue. Like, it's not that he's cerebral. There's no thoughts going on. It's just he's bad at working blue. Like, there's a, you know.
It's just bad.
Yes.
I mean, it's miserable being stuck in like a studio in an intimate situation with somebody who's in charge of you and you have no chemistry with. It's horrible. Like with MJ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I could have nothing to say to that guy ever. I found him completely uninteresting, a big blowhard a-hole. You know, decent guy.
Nothing.
Never did anything that I know of. But I hated hanging out and having to work with him.
That's the funniest part is you can, you know, that's the best and the worst part of that about the whole industry is you'll have people stick you with somebody and go, oh, you guys are great. How can you judge that? You don't know that. You can't just.
You can't.
It doesn't work like that.
It was like a Dave McKay.
Yeah.
He was doing mornings with, it was Dave and Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got to listening to on my way into work. Because they came on earlier than us. And, you know, it's pretty good.
He was still up from the night before.
He was still up. They would joke about that.
Hey, man, put me on at 4 a.m. I'll start the show at 3 a.m. Whatever you want me to do.
I'm pretty sure that's how it worked. And then he had a grabber.
Yeah.
Probably from partying too much. So they stuck a new guy in there and you don't hear about Veronica anymore. You know, it just didn't click.
Yeah.
It just didn't click. I listened to it a couple of times. No.
It just doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work. It's contrived. You can't contrive chemistry.
It's true. It's very true. It's a relationship. You know, you're in this relationship with somebody and you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Or you know what I was looking at? I looked at a clip of Scottie Pippen passing the ball to Michael Jordan, and he was almost out of bounds, right? Scottie Pippen, he's running, and he fling the ball back.
I saw that.
Yeah, Jordan catches it up in the
air.
Way high. And whew, sinks it, right? I mean, just
it's
an
amazing,
incredible play.
It's an incredible
but
sequence,
they
yeah.
fucking hated each other. Which, who I didn't know that growing up. I just watched the Chicago Bulls, and you go, oh, wow, that's a great team. Like, that's a crazy amount of talent on one squad. But you didn't know that Scottie and that wasn't, at least at my age, I didn't know that was a thing, right? You didn't know they had beef.
I didn't either.
Until years later, and you find out, like, yeah, they hated each other and all this stuff. And I'm going, that's like anything, whether it's a rock band, whether it's a radio show, whatever. Like, yeah, you can come together. It doesn't mean you all like each other.
Still, even if it's, you know, even if you hate somebody, imagine if you're part of a team, it doesn't matter. You have to want them to succeed.
Yes.
Or else you won't succeed.
Correct.
Well, we're kind of part of that.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you want the show to succeed, and you'll do whatever it takes for the show to succeed because you believe in the show.
Correct.
Even though.
Even though your head coach is Tom Bean.
Yeah.
I get it. And it actually got me thinking. So I go, all right. Like, literally, that clip of Jordan and Pippen, it got me thinking. And I'm going, I remember Dennis Rodman would come into the studio occasionally, and we'd have him on the phone a lot and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And he was
totally crazy.
But one of the biggest regrets that I have is we never interviewed him properly. It was never really a good interview. And part of that was our dynamic, and part of that was Rodman's dynamic. You yeah. couldn't really get a good interview.
Nonsense.
He was a little, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man. So I started going through pictures, and I'm looking at this picture of me, Dennis Rodman, and Stormy Daniels all broadcasting live from a strip club. And it started jogging my memories. And I'm going, okay, think about this trifecta. Think about who I'm sitting next to, right? Like, years later, you're talking about Dennis Rodman, who, again, great basketball player, et cetera, but somebody who went to North Korea and and sort of, like, talked homeboy down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like think about the implications of that.
Talk about the it factor.
I mean, it's crazy. And then Stormy, who you look at the path that's going down and what her place in history, and I'm going, oh, that's pretty good. And here, we're just in a strip club
and
together.
You, and you.
And me. Yeah, which, you know. So then I'm going, oh, man, started jogging my memories even more. And I'm like, going, oh, let me see what I got in these memory boxes. So I started going through some stuff, and I came across this thing.
Oh, jeez.
I came across this thing.
Yeah.
And this is like a piece of history at this point. You've got Stormy, who's taking the stand again tomorrow.
Yes.
In this thing. And it doesn't really have to do with her. And she's overspoken. She's overstayed her welcome on the stand. And I get all that. But I'm going back to, okay. She wrote the names down. She told me about Donald Trump. She wrote the names down on a post-it note. I was like patient zero for that event, right? Which is good and bad. I don't know. Whatever. I'm going, I wonder if I still have that post-it note.
You still got it.
Or it could just be a post-it note. I don't know. But look at that. Look at this piece of American iconic history.
What are the bottom two?
Other people she okay. slept with.
All right.
And
do you don't realize how interconnected that it is with actual history.
It's weird, right?
I mean, right now it's one of the biggest things in the world.
And here is this little post-it note in a baggie that is crumpled up. May have gotten thrown in the trash, may not have, maybe real, might not be. Who knows, right? Not saying nothing about nothing. But I'm going, this is pretty weird.
It's pretty.
the fact that like the
they're not eBay, buddy.
I don't. That's the what was my next thought. I'm going, I don't want anything to do with anything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's your handwriting expert, put that thing on eBay.
I don't know. I don't know what I should do with it. I don't know if I should do anything with it. I don't know if it's if it has anything to do with anything.
I'd eat it right now. I'd tear it up and eat it right now.
Hey, who's gonna cheer some? Who would bits? We'll sell it for bits. I mean, it could be the official post-it note, or it could just be a post-it note with handwriting on it that I wrote myself. I don't know.
Feed it to the dogs during the break.
And that might be a better idea. Isn't that weird, though? Well, think about that.
You think of that? Think about that picture.
The Rodman.
At the time, you did not think you were sitting next to a guy who was going to
broker a peace deal
with Kim Jong-un. And then a woman who was going to be involved in the 2024 presidential election.
At a strip club.
Strip club. Who would have thought?
It's the weirdest thing ever. And yeah, and every time, like today, I was just jogging my memory, and I'm going, that is the strangest thing ever. But I don't want anything to do with anything, right? But boy, is that weird. I don't know. Just the whole thing. But I don't know where she stands in this thing tomorrow, because she's going to go on the stand. And they're going to rip her to shreds and try to call her a liar and extortionist and all this stuff. And all I know is, like, again, pro-Trump, not pro-Trump, whatever you are. I mean, look, it happened. It happened. I don't know what to tell you. But she had no reason to tell. She had no reason at that time. Donald Trump was not a presidential candidate. He was just a businessman and a guy on a TV show.
Yeah.
And she still admitted that. But, you know, she also mentioned that there was cash involved. But nobody seems to play up that angle. And I'm going, I don't know why. And I think it's because, again, she doesn't want to look like a prostitute, and he doesn't want to look like somebody that paid a prostitute.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, like, there was, at least her telling me, there was money exchanged. And it's like, at that point, it brings it into a whole new sort of realm, you know? But
just a couple agreeing to sex for money. I mean, I don't know many porn stars
that sleep with dudes for free. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
how many porn stars do you know that get with a billionaire and go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do this guy for free. This one's on me. This one's on the house.
Tons of them would fuck a billionaire just for the cachet or the potential that they could get in tight with that billionaire, man.
Or how many would
fucking right there?
Or how many would do it and go, "Wow, this guy's a billionaire. He can pay me a hefty chunk of change, and all I've got to do is perform what I do normally."
I'm sure the Donald just went, "Here's $1,000 for your triple."
Oh man,
don't you think?
Well. How much?
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably lowballing him.
That's the number that was given to me.
Preposterous.
Why?
No, I believe the number.
Oh,
but
okay.
But actually paying that is preposterous.
Isn't that weird?
Preposterous. It's just, yeah, that's how he
But gets. For him, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, he gets off on that. He gives you $25,000 from the Donald.
Oh, Jesus, way to spit out the number.
Your notes are meaningless with me, Matt. They're meaningless. Meaningless. I'm trying to think of what kind of Saturday Night Live character I am that always divulges the secret. That's my gimmick.
Yeah, you really don't know how to hold in a secret.
No, I can't. I'm the worst. Oh. Everyone makes fun of me for my whole life for giving away secrets.
What do we do with this post-it note? This historic piece of Americana at this point? Because I don't want anything to do with nothing. Maybe I'll throw it out the window on the way home.
I'll get a candle in here.
You want to burn it?
You burn it. Burn history.
Maybe that's
quickly.
It's not a bad idea. Want to burn it?
I got a lighter too.
Should we burn it?
I think you should burn it.
Wait, hold on.
It depends.
Is anybody in chat? Let's bring this to the chat and see if anybody even has an opinion on it. And again, it might be legit. It might not be legit. It could just be just a regular good old fashioned post-it note. or it could be a legendary piece of American history.
A legendary, I mean, that's, you know, it's one of those things that when you're meeting
Where were you when you heard Stormy
McDaniels back in the day, you're never going to think that, you know, that your conversation is eventually going to lead you to being, you know, having something in your possession that kind of affects the, could affect the election.
Or not.
Of course, yeah.
Or it could just be a post-it. You never know.
Bella was drawn out there. I saw you lift some of her stuff out there.
Wait, say what?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Yeah. I was like, huh? What? What happened?
F. Coot says burn it.
Mm. Like, I don't know what the I kind of do want to burn it, come to think of it. I don't know.
Burn it. You got two burn it.
Two burn it's. Well, I don't know what the advantage would be to keeping it, or I guess, yeah. Yeah, I don't want anything to do with anything.
I don't either. I'm a not want to do with nothing guy.
So you're burn it guy?
Yeah, I'm a burn it guy.
Should we burn it?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I burn it in here?
Yeah. No fire alarms in here. I don't know. It might be a raging fire. Maybe we better not burn it.
Nope. Is the decision's been made?
Yeah.
Is it official?
Yeah. Just go ahead and burn
just
it.
Get it. Just get it done with.
You have to get after it. Wash your hands. Hands clean.
All right.
Hands clean.
I don't want nothing to do with nothing. And again, folks, that could just be a post-it note. It could just be a regular good old fashioned.
Yeah. It's a nice little flan there.
Not bad. There goes something.
Here goes nothing. There you go.
There goes something.
One day that would have been worth so much money on eBay. All up in smoke.
Nope.
No, see, clear conscience. Sleep good.
That did feel nice.
Sleep good with a clear conscience.
Or it's just a post-it note. There it is.
Forgot what I was talking about. I want to talk about the women's sports we were talking about.
Oh, God, the women's sports.
There is supposedly a restaurant, a new sports bar in Oregon called the Sports Bra. You get it? B-A-R, you take the letters and jumble them, and they're Sports Bra. And it shows only women's sports. I don't know. I heard this on the radio. I don't know how reputable it is from a disc jockey. And they're allegedly...
from a disc jockey.
Going to have a chain of them around the country. And it's like, nobody's going to go to a sports bar and watch women's sports.
No.
You're just not going to do it. I don't know what to tell you, people.
Well, hold on. I mean, isn't women's basketball all the rage now? Like, I almost feel like
I think it's going to die out.
Is it fake popularity?
Yeah, I think right now. Well, like the Caitlin Clark deal, you know, she was the good. She ended up with all the records this year, and she played for Iowa. And I just like to watch, you know, people who are exceptional. You know, it's like she's the best player ever. So I was like, let me watch her games, and you know, so I watched a few of her games. So I know about Caitlin Clark, and she's making $75,000. In the NBA this year. No, she is. 75K.
So I've never seen her play at all. Yeah. Honestly. Just haven't. Yeah. Is she a great player, or is she a great player based on her surroundings?
Well, she doesn't have a very good team. She's like...
like when you watch her play...
she elevates her team.
When you watch her play, do you get that vibe of going, oh, that looks like Kobe, or that looks like Jordan? Like, or is it just like... yeah, oh, she can dribble.
No, she lights it up pretty much.
Okay.
And she dishes. Like, she's a real disher.
Like a Larry Bird?
She really dishes like you wouldn't, you know.
Can she dunk?
No.
Boom!
None of them girls can dunk, man.
They're going to lower that rim.
None of them.
They're going to lower that rim, let them take it to the house.
Why don't you lower the rim?
Why not, right?
It's like, it's physically impossible. Maybe in 10 years you'll get some tall enough women to regularly dunk. Why wait?
Yeah.
They're smaller than us.
Lower the rim.
Why should they have to jump 10 feet?
Nobody wants to see a layup contest.
It's a layup contest. 3-point and a layup contest. And you know, they're just not as good as men. I mean, you go to a high school game, just an average high school game, and they're dunking like crazy. All the Evan's gone.
Sorry. Just a post-it note.
They're dunking like crazy. A high school team would destroy a WNBA championship team. high school boys.
So then why would anybody be interested in watching the WNBA? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the weird thing.
They won't. I think this is a fad. Like you said, it's a fad. You know, she's got all the records, so she made news and people watched it. I don't really plan on watching her in the pro league. So
yeah, I mean, if she snaps her ACL or whatever, then what? She's the only female player that people really know, except for the one that was locked up abroad.
Yep, people don't know and don't really care.
And
it's just a little bit
of honesty from somebody who is a casual viewer of sports.
If you go and you watch a professional soccer game, a men's soccer game, you see, wow, I mean, the amazing athleticism. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are 6'2", just muscle. I mean, these guys are amazing athletes. And then you watch a college game, like stand on the sideline. I've seen a men's college game on the sideline. You're like, those guys, they would F me up, man. Those guys are like beasts. And then you go to the women's game. And they're perfectly skilled and everything, but they just don't have the athletic ability as a 6-foot-tall, 185-pound man. There's not one of them could compete with a 6-foot-tall man. It's just biology.
Well, I mean, think about the soccer players. They're just names, right? Much like you said, women's back. Like, there's only a couple players.
Two.
I can name Beckham, which he doesn't play anymore, right?
Yeah.
Messi, Ronaldo. Those are the only three that I have any sort of confidence in naming. I'm sure, you know, the soccer heads out there or football heads will know differently, but your average casual, good old fashioned American dude there, maybe I'm off on it. I don't know those people.
If you watch the Premier League, which I don't, every Saturday morning, you watch a premiere. I guess you would get to know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got no time to watch soccer every Saturday.
Is it weird that
I watch the World Cup once every 4 years? That's what I got time for soccer. Once every 4 years.
I know more NASCAR drivers than I do soccer players or football. And football is the most popular sport in the world. But yet, I can name at least 5 NASCAR drivers. And I don't even like NASCAR.
We should have a contest right now to write down as many NASCAR drivers as we. I bet I beat you.
Oh, really?
Hold on.
And now are we talking current?
Yeah, like the just.
So Earnhardt doesn't count?
No.
Oh, all right, let me cancel him out.
You're done. You're done.
Let me cancel him out.
Starting out with Earnhardt.
hold on. Boy. My brain's taking a real crap on me. I got 2.
Oh, so I don't have to worry. I can stop now.
Oh, wait. I got another one, but I don't know if he still races or not. Tony Stewart's out, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, see, this guy, I don't know if he still races or not. I got 3. How many you got?
I got 6.
Oh, 7. Dude, you got me beat.
Logano, Bush, Hamlin, Wallace, Gibbs, Larson.
Oh, man, I had Bush, Keselowski, and Harvick. And I don't even know if...
Bush, Keselowski, that's good. That's 3 for 3, buddy.
But my point remains the same. It's like, you know, I know more NASCAR drivers than... I don't know.
Which one was it? Female. What was the sport? Soccer guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, these are, like I said, they're 6-foot-tall, you know, these freakish athletes, and they dive and whine and cry around like little bitches.
Oh, when they take a dive,
it's
ugh.
So emasculating. It's almost unwatchable. You're just like, I can't watch these guys crybaby anymore.
Well, and then when they can't sell it properly, they just get up and they pretend like it never happened because they know they're not getting the call.
Getting
so they're like, all right, back to business. And they start running again.
It's preposterous. It's like, it's embarrassing.
Get off my lawn.
So I don't think the American man is, you know, he didn't grow up with soccer. Most sports, soccer is the cheapest sport. All you need is a soccer ball and a lawn. You can play soccer. So everybody in the world plays it. All these third world countries. Everybody plays soccer. Except for us. We had other shit to do. We're way cooler than them. We got more money. And so soccer, you know, you didn't grow up with it. So when you see all these guys whining, crying around, it's a turnoff, and you're probably not going to go out for your soccer team at high school. All right.
Well, what's the other one? Cricket is pretty popular, but I've tried to watch cricket. I don't understand that one at all.
That's bizarre. That's nonsense.
I don't know. Is there an outfield? There's not an outfield. There's a stands, but they're bouncing the ball. Somebody's smacking it with a paddle. I don't know what. I don't know what the deal with cricket is.
It was like
it's like pickleball for baseball or something. I don't know what's happening.
For Indians, some Indian on LSD made up. You get the wicket and the wicket and you bounce the ball and the ball. If you hit one, and you bang it. No gloves. No gloves. Big field. Huge field. What is it? What is it? It's like you can't even. They run to wickets and.
But I'll tell you what.
And I don't want to. I try like I'll give it like 5 minutes. I'm like no.
I think they're studs though, and wherever it's popular, in those countries, they are. I think they're studs.
They're revered.
I think so. I think they are.
Yeah, they don't because Indians don't give a shit about the NFL.
No,
they give a shit about cricket.
Yeah, cricket. Yeah.
Cricket.
We'll have to learn cricket.
Oh, yeah, it looks dreadful.
It does look dreadful.
It looks pretty dreadful.
Did you see, let me see here. Well, there was, I sent you a couple things. I don't know if Cameo is as is it popular as it used to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about getting on Cameo originally. Probably should have. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, there was, so there's a wrestler named MJF, and... God, my brain escapes me. I don't even know what it stands for, right? But he's got a Cameo account, and I guess he says he only did it just to make a little money and make fun of people, but his cameos are pretty funny. Just because he's a dick. He's the ultimate heel wrestler, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's a dick in a good way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's good heel. Like, certain wrestlers, you go, he's working it, right? This is the epitome of a guy who's working it.
Hey, this is MJF, obviously. I just got out of the shower, and to be honest, the only reason why I'm doing this is because I'm really bored. And the reason why I made it $500 and everybody else is so much cheaper is because I don't like you people. So, good luck affording it. Hey, this is MJF, obviously.
So what, I don't even... How did that work? So, like...
So
$500 to see that video? Or?
No, he'll make you a custom video. So, like, there's a couple other examples in here of ones that he's actually done for people. So... Yeah, but I think his cost is like $500 for one of these videos where he just tells people to go F themselves, which is great.
All right, Paul, I'm in my hotel.
I like it.
All right, Paul, I'm in my hotel room at my movie shoot, to be totally transparent. I'm tired. I've been up since 4 a.m., and your shitty wife, Christy, and your Hannah and Matt, they want me to wish you a happy birthday. And quite frankly, I'm not feeling too jolly. So, eat shit. And apparently you're a huge fan of mine. That's not shocking at all. Apparently you're a fan of the South Carolina Gamecocks. That is shocking, considering the fact that they have sucked for fucking decades. All right. Go fuck yourself, Paul. Happy birthday or whatever.
See, that's great to me. There's, you know, if you're going to, I don't know about paying $500 for it, but it's almost great.
Yeah. I think Ned would have done well on Cameo. That's what Ned would have done.
Yep.
I should have done
That's what reminded
me of.
I should
have done the Cameo.
Totally.
What up, Eric, you baby back bitch. So apparently it's your birthday. Congrats on being another day closer to death. You most certainly deserve that. Apparently I'm reading this from your fucking missus, I assume. I don't even know. Susie, Sophia, and Beverly. I guess you're into an open relationship deal. That's cool. Okay. Wish good luck on starting his house concerts again. Does that mean you just like play music in front of your three wives in Mormonville? Is that what this is about? Either way, don't really know what's going on, and to be perfectly honest with you, it sounds like you got a lot of skeletons in your closet. Go fuck yourself.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, see, you're getting...
At least he's being original about it.
You're getting your money's worth, I think, of those.
$500.
So who's this guy? What's his name?
MJF.
MJF, is he big time?
He's pretty big time in the... It's not WWE, he's in AEW. If I remember correctly, But yeah, he's a pretty, you know, he's one of their premier guys, but he's just a really good heel.
Yeah, that's a good heel right there.
Strong heel.
Yeah, because he's funny. He's actually funny.
Something about it. I don't know. I liked The Rock when he was leading up to like WrestleMania and stuff, and he started cussing on his on his X platforms and all that stuff. Did you ever watch any of his promos?
I saw a few of them.
And he was just like, fuck. Like he was just screaming cuss words. I was like, whoa, didn't expect that coming.
I can't take The Rock seriously anymore.
Oh, no. Is it the eyebrows?
He's about to rip out of his skin.
What do you mean?
He's so blowed up. I mean, it's like he has a IV drip of steroids. He's he's a monster. He turned into a Marvel caricature.
You imagine
he's
just
so big and blowed up.
Imagine just standing next to him and just feeling less than a man. Just like that's a man.
Imagine. You go out to dinner with you, your wife, and The Rock.
You can't feel good about that
and
meal.
And he's, like, charming, you know? He's, like, and your wife is just, like, every word he says. And he's, you know, he's 6 foot something, jacked to the hilt. Everyone, it's really just charming. Oh, he's been so gracious to your wife the whole night.
Yep.
Puts his hand on her shoulder occasionally.
And then here you
laughs,
are.
Laughs at,
And then here you are, you're just like, less than a man compared to this guy. And there's nothing you could do to combat it. You could try to make fun of him and be like, yeah, how about those steroids? He's bested you in every division.
He's bested you in every division.
It's just the way it goes.
I remember I went to my wife's, I can't remember what year it was, 10 or 20 year reunion. And so, you know, at one point, you know, she's there and she's talking to like four or five guys about the old days. And after about half an hour of that bullshit, I'm like, yeah.
Four or five guys.
It's like, yeah.
I'm here, honey. I'm here.
Yeah, this is like, yeah. It's like every guy's worst nightmare. A bunch of dudes reminiscing with your wife.
Wait, what were they? What were these conversations?
It wasn't like anything intimate.
Perverse.
No, but it's just like, having a great time. You know, remember when this happened and this happened and this happened for like half an hour.
Wait, when did you guys meet?
What do you mean?
I thought you guys met in high school.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say,
the timelines now are getting a little twisted.
I was like 21 and she was 19.
Okay. So she was fresh out of high school.
And fresh out of high school. That's how I like a man.
After she did all her trysts with all of her...
all the high school stoner friends.
That then she made you talk to face to face. And they snickered and jeered.
Look at this schmuck.
And said, oh man, I can't believe he ended up with her. Look, remember what we used to do to her? How crazy it was. Remember that night at the park?
Yeah, let's yuck it up right in front of him. Make him suck on it.
Hey, Mike, really great to meet you. Congratulations on the wedding. Donna, the worst is when they go, she's a really great girl. You go, oh no, you fucked her, didn't you? Don't tell me she's, or they go, oh, she's really special. Don't tell me she's special. Don't do that to me.
Yeah, I think they're a bunch of stone. I don't think any of them had sex.
That's what you think.
That's what I'm going to keep thinking.
Yeah, I don't know. Would it matter? I mean, you know.
No,
at some point, you got to put all that behind you.
I mean, it's like, what does it even matter?
It doesn't. That's the thing.
At all.
But it's tough to, it would be, it's tough for initially, a dude to put that behind
initially
it.
Initially it is.
Yeah.
You know, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you went out with a girl and she said she had sex with 100 guys, you'd be like,
enough about my ex. She's dead, Mike.
So I was so happy when Donna said 99. I was like, oh, just under the cutoff.
Yeah, once you get a triple digit, it's a problem.
I was lucky number 100.
Congratulations. I didn't know you guys met. I thought for some reason you guys met in high school.
No. Met the beverage drive-thru. I can't remember whether she was 18 and I was 20 or 19 or 21. It was something.
She came rolling through for a sixer and a pack of zebra striped gum or whatever.
A pack of Marlboro. Marlboro Gold.
Roll them up in her sleeve.
Michelob and Marlboro Gold.
Michelob. Oh man,
Michelob. When it used to, they used to have a different shaped bottle.
Well, when I was
no such thing as nobody drinks Michelob anymore. It's Michelob Ultra.
It's funny you say it. When I was on my way here and I picked up our ceremonial bottle of Svedka.
Svedka.
The guy in front of me had 2 12 packs of Ice House, and the lady was like, "Oh, getting two?" And he's like, "Yeah." He goes, "You can't find these anywhere." And I'm thinking, myself, like, Ice House? You can't find Ice House anywhere? I feel like you'd be able to find Ice House everywhere. But
maybe not. Maybe nowadays. There's so many brands of beer, you probably fight. It's a fight to get in the cooler, man.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
Ice House is on its way out or something.
It was high alcohol beer.
Oh man,
for regular beer, cheap high alcohol beer, like this close to malt liquor, I think.
Yep, we used to drink. It was either Old English 800 or it was the Miller High Life, the champagne of beers, as they called it. And we found
they still call it that.
If you get a
Miller,
hilarious.
It says the champagne of beers on the label. They stick out of the best slogan and they're sticking with it.
It might as well, right? Like it's funny. It works.
Coors is the banquet beer. It says it on the
really?
Can. It's like a banquet. It's like, what's a banquet?
Doesn't
dude?
Make any sense.
That's a terrible slogan.
Yeah, it's not even a slogan. It's just a statement.
And nobody has banquets anymore. What's a banquet?
Banquet.
It's a fucking banquet.
Remember Red Dog? Whatever happened?
Red Dog.
Yeah. You want to run with the dogs? Run with a Red Dog.
There's Red Wolf and Red Dog.
There was Red Wolf, wasn't there?
I don't know. They were making they're trying different beers and. It was hot for like a year or two.
Red Dog.
And then they all faded away.
I used to have to do gigs at bars promoting Red Dog. Yeah. Like, join me from 5 to 7 at such and such. We'll be here with a Red Dog beer. Yeah. And then that just sort of faded away.
Red. I bet they don't even have Red Dog anymore.
Bum, bum, bum.
So me and Donnie used to do, we'd head up the ABC liquor store. And we try these various. This is back. People understand. Back in the day, there was none of this stuff. You know, it was just regular beer.
Yeah, there was like six beers to choose from, and that was it.
Light beer, Löwenbräu, Michelob, Bud, Miller, and we'd get all the stuff that they get from like England, and it would be like a lemonade beer and a lime,
a nice shandy, lime,
yeah, all kind of different stuff. And we go home and get high on Saturday night, and that was our deal. And now you can't find none of that stuff. It's all gone. They don't import anymore because everybody's got 18 varieties of everything now.
Dude, and I'm not a huge beer drinker, but it is overwhelming when you go into a true liquor store and see the amount, the variety. And I feel like I'm in a library trying to pick out a book. And I'm going, I think I've read this one, or I'm not interested in that book. I look like a professor, but I have no idea what's happening. I'm just like, I don't want to buy one that's just going to be awful. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to buy one. Yeah. It's like,
well, I mean, depending, like, are you an IPA guy? Like,
no.
I can't drink any of that.
Uh-uh.
To me, it's like, it boggles my mind. You know, if you're an IPA drinker, that's fine. But for me, it's like, it feels if your taste buds are warped.
Yeah.
It tastes horrendous.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It tastes skunky and...
And after one, it's like... you got that in your mouth.
Yes.
Like,
if a beer had an asshole on it, it would be an IPA.
There we go.
It's the asshole of beer.
It's brewed. And a giant asshole. A blue whale's asshole.
A vat of asshole. Brewed from the finest assholes.
Oh, I just can't do it. I never could. I've taken a sip of IPA and I'm like, oh, this is horrible.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Some people love them.
Meanwhile, you got a nice Miller Lite over there and I'm about to get me a Svedka.
I mean, it might, you know, I get high, drink light beer. I don't want to get too drunk. Those days are over. I'm trying to vomit.
Getting the spins.
I say that, but usually at least once a year, and I'm like, why did I do this?
Yeah. But once a year, it's a good reminder to go, ooh, that's why.
That's why, yeah.
You need a refresher course occasionally.
Yeah. Why does it suck so bad? Why can't they need a drug that mimics the effects of alcohol that has no side effects.
Wouldn't that be weed? On some level,
okay, I mean, cause
or the closest thing to it,
like you know how if you, you know, I'm sure many times in your life you drank so much that you really, you know, when it came out of your shell and did some crazy, not like mildly crazy things that you wouldn't have done.
And you go, oh, man, I can't believe I did that last night.
Yeah, you'd be sitting around, you know, laughing maybe. I don't know. I had some pretty good times when I was wasted with my friends.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, on that note, let's remind everybody of the Hang Bourbon Special Reserve.
It's
coming out.
It's brewing as we speak.
As we speak, and they're molding the cock rings. I mean, the cuck rings. They're molding the.
Things are going to get weird. If you drop the deuce, things are going to get twisted.
2 year subscription. Oh my God, this is like I'm thinking about, like, changing the price maybe. You know. But it has to be a deuce.
No. I think we keep it at a deuce. You drop the deuce, and we do get the cuck rings, and you do get a 2 year subscription, all that stuff, and then we just tell you that we're gonna send you the bourbon. Trust us, and then we just never.
No, we're gonna send the bourbon. We're gonna get Don. You know, Donna's gonna hook us up with some kind of decanters.
Nope.
And we'll rebrand. We just need a label. All we need. And then we take bourbon, the bottom shelf bourbon, pour it into the.
What if there's a certificate that's
of authenticity?
Yes, and it's like, okay, this is good for a bottle of bourbon, and then we send out those certificates, almost like a stock certificate, let's say, right?
Preach on. I like what I'm hearing.
You do have a bottle, and trust us, eventually you'll get that bottle. But before the bottle comes out, we fold.
It's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, it's... yeah, you see... Yeah.
The deuce it is.
Drop the deuce. It's a piss up and tears up. I keep meaning to look for a sudden involuntary carny syndrome.
I love that bit.
But when I come up here, nothing but a, it's like an actual complex.
Wait, you have to like find your bit on YouTube, or you have to Google your own bits?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got to get a wire. I got to get that. It's a busy time around here.
Michael, you got to get it quick because Sam Ash is closing down all their stores. And there's only many music stores left, man. So
I got a $5 coupon, too.
Yep, you got to use that coupon while you can.
Here, let me search one spot.
No. For your own bits. Oh, no. Oh, there it is. Is that it? Oh, no.
How do you spell carny?
I think we spelled it C-A-R-N-E-Y.
Is it not going to be on here? No. Damn it.
Bum, bum, ba-ba. Bum,
bum, ba-ba. I have no idea where that would be. Damn it.
I know where it is.
As Trey said, we're not doers around here. Not doers.
You've got so much material.
I need it desperately, too. Look at me. I'm flailing right now because I don't have my sudden involuntary carny syndrome.
I just play...
I could play... what?
I don't know. Just anything. And we'll go go get a drink.
Yeah, we're going to get a drink.
And we'll be back.
I'll play Harper's latest. I'll tell you a story when we come back.
Okay.
Because you're fascinated, I'm sure, with my granddad's stories.
I am. I think it's great.
All right. We'll be right back.
With the Hang.
Yeah, this goes out to my music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mr. Pro is a no.
No, no.
Mr. Pro is a no, no. Yo, yo.
What did I get?
Yo, yo.
Nothing. Yeah. And my music teacher said I couldn't sing. That is too bad for him. I could have won the whole thing.
No. Yeah.
He can't even sing.
The world.
Nah. Blah.
Nah.
Nah. Yeah. Why is that a bluff?
Sis.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Pro.
That's a bluff.
Mr. Pro is a no. Yo, yo. His name's not even Pro. His last name's not even Mr. Pro. He built just thinks that's the best. And music. Ha! That's the biggest bluff I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, that is. It really is.
He didn't teach me one thing about it. Music.
Music!
He said I couldn't sing. Can do.
Yeah, why don't you know?
Oh, yeah,
you are and so that dumb
brain for not letting me have this.
One.
That's not enough.
I say, you know the best songs.
No,
that's love.
The biggest bluff of
my
life.
Of
bluff.
So big.
Oh, you think all it's funny,
but no.
Don't you know, yo?
Hey! Biggest bluff
yo.
No, Mr.
you're
Pro.
Not.
Go.
Your name's not even Mr. Pro.
Go
yo.
Away. You're the biggest bluff I've ever heard in my life.
Go.
Oh,
yo.
Never,
ever.
Okay.
Again.
Shoot.
You have a temper.
Even want the stupid solo.
You are dumb.
If you gave me the solo, it would be the best
one ever.
There,
yeah.
Hey, what? Does anybody have handcuffs?
Anybody?
Like anybody?
I really.
Yes.
At least over there.
Oh, you tall enough, boys?
I wanna go over there.
Yeah. Nothing.
Take me over there.
Are you?
Please, I want to go over there. Please,
nothing.
Let me go over there.
Are you sure?
I
want to
go over there. I want to go over there. Take me over there. Take me over there.
Oh, there's a police over there.
That's a
yeah, I definitely want to go over there.
Yeah, can you take me over
this
there?
This dude needs some handcuffs.
Take me over there. Please, please,
yeah,
please. Just,
that's a hand.
It's not that hard.
Ups, bluffs, bluffs. Yeah.
Bye.
I.
But are you sure nobody has handcuffs? I see some! Hey, police! Hey!
You're listening to The Hang with Mike Manson Waters and Matt Spice Floyd.
Welcome to The Hang.
Look at that transition.
Talking about train wreck. Hang with Mike and Matt. Every Wednesday night. Also available on FlustRuffShow.com. The extra hour of The Hang. Overtime. Hot damn.
Oh.
I enjoy doing the hang. Just I enjoy hanging. It's like if you ask me what I like to do.
Yeah.
I like sport. I like playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I like hanging. It's like the top, you know. It's like a top, you know. I like my favorite, like when we play volleyball.
Yep.
It's mainly just my family and maybe a couple of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you know, out there, you know, drinking beer and barbecue and playing volleyball. It's like that's like me going to the Super Bowl for most people. It's like, I can't imagine a better day in my life. It's so much fun to me. I like to make conversation. For me, I don't know, I get satisfaction out of making good conversation.
I know.
Weird that way.
No, I'm with you. And if there's a place where there's not good conversation, I typically just leave. Like, I was at a thing last weekend, and I don't get out much, right? Like, I just don't get out much anymore.
Yeah.
It's by design, right? If I don't leave the house, I can't get in trouble. That's my motto. But when I do leave the house, I find myself put in these situations going, this is weird. Like, this is not for me. So I'm not going to be in this situation anymore. Like, people are talking about, like, different, like, stuff that I'm
not interested in. So there's a lot of people don't know how to, you know, have a conversation, or, you know, like, their personality is they want to tell you stories about themselves.
Mm.
And maybe they're not that interesting, but they still just want to tell you stories about themselves, and that's all they want to do.
Or it's the opposite of that, and it's just vapid conversation for no reason. It's just like, so kids are good. Mm-hmm. It's so empty and hollow and shallow that why even have it? We might as well stare at each other.
Like the Mariana Trench deepness we have going on here in the hang.
Yeah, we are very deep. It's true.
It's true.
I mean, it's the deepest conversation I have with anybody.
Deep as hell here.
I mean, you know, I can't talk to a counselor about this stuff.
I'm your counselor. I'm a glorified counselor. So, Matt, tell me, how do you feel about the Palestinian situation?
I like Israel. Okay. Feel for the Palestinians. It's the same, you know.
But you know, I really, after October 7th, I really feel for the Israelis. I understand the plight of the Palestinians, but wow. You got to do something, right?
Dude, could you imagine being a counselor, like a real-ass counselor, right? Like, and having to just, like, hear everybody's deepest, darkest, weird, whatever stuff that they're venting to you for 8 hours a day. And then you're not supposed to go home and tell anybody about any of that? Like, you're just supposed to hold that in? I don't think so.
Are you holding it in?
Oh, my God. No. Are you kidding me?
Is your wife holding it in if she's a therapist?
I don't think any therapist is holding it in.
My wife's not holding it in, and I'm not holding it in.
And furthermore, I think therapists are some of the weirdest people out there.
I agree with that as well.
Like, there's no, everybody's got stuff going on in their life. Everybody's got drama. Like, it's very, very odd to see somebody who's just like, no, everything's great. Like, at some point, something's going to explode or whatever, right? Peaks and valleys. And yeah, therapists are the same. But why would you trust this person to just be like, tell me how you're feeling? Oh, okay, sure. And then you just go into it?
And you don't know anything about this person.
And they're not allowed to tell you anything about them, right? Like, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to let you get inside their head.
No, not at all.
So it's a completely one-sided fuck job.
It's like, it seemed like the only way to go to a therapist would it be if, you know, I don't really believe too much in therapy, but it would be if somebody said, hey, I went to this guy and he was so good, you know, and maybe he's just an interesting guy that can talk some sense into you, you know, because he's got a good personality or something. A lot of, you know, anybody who gets a freaking degree in psychology or psychiatry can put a diploma on the wall, and they're going to tell you what to do. When they probably, just because you got a degree in it don't mean you know shit about life, you know?
Yes, correct. And furthermore, I think a lot of the therapists, if you were to go see a therapist week after week, and all you're doing is bitching and complaining about the same thing week after week, right? Like, what's the therapist going to go against you? No, they're going to side with you. Do a little confirmation bias and be like, yeah, that sounds like whatever's going on is pretty messed up. You're going to need to distance yourself from them or whatever it is, right? Like, they're only hearing one side of the story.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
Every week, they're consistently only hearing one side. Unless you do couples therapy, well, that seems like a recipe for disaster, right? That can't work out for anybody, right? Why?
Because, I mean, like, you know. Fight in front of somebody,
a stranger, and pay them to listen to you guys argue with one another. Seems insane to me.
Yeah,
that's batshit crazy.
I don't know if that works. I don't know. I don't know if any of it works. I doubt the veracity of any of these therapists. I think people go like, well, you know, I flunked out of everything else. I can always be a therapist.
Now tell her how you feel. And then you have it. Well, I feel as though. It's like, it's got to be bullshit, right? It's got to be.
I'm kind of a.
I'd rather tap out.
Tap out of what?
Whatever it is, whatever it is, then do therapy. It just seems.
I mean, maybe it works for some people, but for me, you know.
For me, I can't.
Don and I are either going to make it or we're not going to make it. And we can either talk it out or we're not going to talk it out. Nobody's going to convince us, you know.
Or even solo therapy, right?
Some kind of.
What, are you going to go to a therapist and they're going to be like, what's running through your head? And be like, here's my notebook of bits. Right? The therapist is going to look at you and go, you're a psycho. And you're going to go, no, I'm not. I'm just creative. And they'll be like, so tell me about your creativity. And then you're paying for, a weird,
I wonder if
like a ruse.
I wonder if therapists like, you know, intentionally, like if you're really interesting, you know, I'm sure that some people go in there and tell them and they're people, they're, you know, they're fascinating because some people are just naturally interesting people and some people, you know, just dreary. And you got to listen to them drone on for an hour. And then I went to the store and, you know, they didn't have my prescription. You just like want to shoot yourself in the face. So you try to cure that guy really fast and not cure the cool guy, right?
No, the goal is to not cure anybody. Of them. Like, why would you just say, okay, customer, I don't need you as a customer anymore. See you later. You're good. Like, no, you keep them in. You keep them in the hamster wheel, right? Like, that's the idea. At least I would think so.
I mean, it just makes sense. I'm such a good therapist. I cure everybody. And I have no clientele now.
Yeah, like, what, Howard's been going to therapy for, like, 45 years or something? Like, well, no shit. Yeah, like, always tortured. Yeah.
I think, yeah, some people just want somebody to talk to. And somebody to bitch to, maybe.
That's what you want from me. And vice versa. Now get off my lawn.
I've just said it for years. Like people like, you know, like, I don't know, back in the day, Bill Maher, when he was more of a common sense person, people like George Carlin, comedians, you know, that tell it like it is. It's like people who like, you know, that kind of anti-government and kind of truth speak. They gravitate to those comedians, and they just hearing somebody say it makes you feel like you're not crazy.
Yes.
You're just like, ah. Oh,
I'm not the only one that thinks that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're almost cheering them saying it because that's what I, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know.
No, I know what you're saying.
That's probably why this show works so well because we're always going,
you're right, Mike.
You're right, man.
Yeah, we're so right. We're the most right people ever.
Yeah, we both think right thoughts. And we agree with everything we say.
We're never wrong. How crazy is that? The two guys can just get together and never be wrong. Anything going on in chat tonight? We haven't checked chat.
Kevin JK cheered.
Nice.
I can't. Oh, there's 20,000 bets.
Hot really?
Damn. I can't find my woo. Here we go. One man. There we go.
I'm going to send Kevin JK some ashes from this post-it.
He said those were for the ashes. He's paying for the ashes. He wants them delivered overnighted.
They're big, beautiful ashes.
They burned like nobody else's ashes burned before.
Post-it notes, so good.
So that's what the chat's got. 20,000 bits for Kevin
That's
JK.
Awesome. That's amazing.
It's a lot of work to read the chat. Yeah. It's a very small type.
Trying to see what I had on.
Ned's Navy, I think, comes in here. I think he comes in the chat and on the hang.
Mm-hmm.
And all he does is rag me for 2 hours for not responding to him.
That's hilarious. As he should. We really should be responding.
He's talking to me about me. He says, likes playing sports and hanging. Playing sports and hanging, dislikes reading chat and recognizing bits.
That's great. Recognize the man.
I tried reading the chat one time, and then Matt was talking, and I was looking at him after I read the chat, and he was talking about something. I had no idea what he was fucking talking about, and I had to nod my head and go, yeah.
And I knew it too. I'm going, he has no idea what I'm talking about. I tried to bring my iPad in here and read the chat one time, and I did the same thing. I got lost in it. I'm like, I can't follow this and talk at the same time.
I'm going to make Trace come in next time we do the hang and sit there and read the chat. And
so,
and every once in a while, he can give us the chat highlights.
I love it. I love
we'll
it.
Try it one time.
That'd be great.
Just for the hell of it. Just to make you happy, Ned's Navy.
Yeah, Ned's Navy. You see Miss USA quit? I don't know what's up with that.
Mental health issues.
She needs to seek a counselor.
She just needs therapy.
I'd like
therapy.
To be that counselor. That's the counselor to be. Like, tell me, Miss USA, you hot little minx. Tell me all your deepest, darkest secrets and why you're having a bad time about this thing.
If you were
sit on this here casting couch.
Are you saying if you were a therapist, you would sleep with all your patients?
No.
And then you'd probably get a reputation. And then hot women would flock to your practice to bed you.
Matt, male therapist. The weird business card.
In a smoking jacket.
Wait, you got to turn?
Then you do a Sharon Stone scene.
Well, hello there, Miss USA. I notice you've quit. Tell me, what troubles you?
It's only a matter of time.
What was it the swimsuit that was too tight on stage? Was it the number of men that kept hitting on you for being beautiful and smart? Tell me.
Was it the duct tape on the nipple?
Was it the razor you used to shave your bush? Tell me.
That's it.
What seems so troubling about being Miss USA that carries the burden that you need to quit and seek therapy? Poor thing.
It's so stressful being Miss USA.
You have no idea the pressures that come along with being a hot woman with a queen's crown and traveling around the world and having everybody kiss your ass. You don't know.
So I can't even imagine the stress. I can't even. I'd quit, right? I wish I could quit. I wish I could win so I could quit. It's so stressful. We live in a fan. You know,
what if she just really doesn't like compliments for real? Like, what if that's the problem? She's like, I just don't take a compliment well.
I guess she shouldn't have ran for Miss America. You know,
for men to spit on me.
Somebody has mental health problems. I get it. But I think when society focuses so much on mental health, mm-hmm. to the fact they're beating everybody over the head about your mental health, it's like, I'm growing up, I didn't think about my mental health. Never.
You just
ever.
Go.
Just go. You just do it.
Yeah.
You're, sometimes you're sad. Sometimes you're happy. Sometimes you get real sad. Sometimes you're not sad for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You just live your life. And you don't need to be, you know, like if somebody's sad and then you hear that, you're depressed, you know, it creates mental illness.
I think that in a certain amount, that's probably true.
Or a faux mental illness.
You've got 9 people or whatever coming at you going, are you okay? How are things? And then you start getting in your head, and you're going, yeah, maybe things aren't great. Like,
I thought it was okay, but maybe. Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I'm with you. It's like, look, I've had the worst shit happen imaginable in my life. Well, maybe not. In my world, it's the worst stuff, right? But I go. You just go because that's just what you have to do. I don't know any other way.
You need to take a couple mental health days, man.
I can't.
I don't think you're
because there's bills, you know. People that take mental health days, what do they not have bills?
I don't even. There we go. Duck, get off of my lawn.
Hey, what do you not have any bills?
Mental health day. Why do we? I work 8 hours and go home and blow my brains out before I call in sick.
That's my mentality. I know it's weird, right? But that's my mentality.
It's old school. It's old school.
It is old school. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody else is just deciding to take a mental health day. And I'm going, what? You can do that? That's a thing?
Mental health day. I'd be embarrassed to say that. What happened to the days when you...
I need to adapt, and we need to start taking mental health days.
I can't do it.
They used to... I used would call in. Yeah, like I don't think I'd ever say mental health day. I think I'd have to say I'm calling in sick. Even if I was pretending to be sick and I was truly depressed, I don't think I could have the balls to be like calling it a mental health day. It doesn't compute with me. I'd be like, I'd have to fake a sore throat and go, I'm not feeling so good today. I'm not coming in. You know, something like that.
And let's be honest. If you're, you know, somebody comes to your employee and says, well, Matt took a day off. It was a mental health day. Both of them are going, they're rolling their eyes and going, oh, okay. Well, we see what's going on here. You're going to milk the system, are you? One of those snowflake guys needs a mental, we get it.
But I do think times have changed where it's more acceptable now than ever. And generation coming up, they're all about mental health days. So it is going to become the norm, which is actually kind of cool. We're probably looking at it the wrong way. It's just not something that I've adapted to personally. And you either, right? It's just not a...
How many mental health days do you get a year?
See, I used to always look at mental health. That was the weekend. It was Saturdays and Sundays.
There you go.
That was it. The rest, that was, those were your mental health days.
You get up almost eight a month. It's a lot.
Yes. And then occasionally a Memorial Day off or a Thanksgiving day off. Whoa, that's like a mental health day. I don't have to go into work today.
Memorial Day. I mean, it's nothing but a mental health day.
Juneteenth? I mean, who doesn't love Juneteenth?
Love every day off. We never missed a day off on the old show. We took them all off.
You did. It was just fine.
We even took Martin Luther King Jr. Day off because we had a black man who worked on the show. Bro, and Bubba said it would be wrong to work on that day.
Yeah, I had to plan out all the best of run the
board.
We
had to run it.
Yeah, it was a whole to do. So yeah.
A lot of pressure.
And I never got to choose vacation around my schedule. I never have been able to, honestly. But yeah, it was never like, oh, well, I'm gonna be here. It was always, here's the weeks we're taking off. Here's the it's fine. I'm not mad at that.
He did take a shit ton of time off.
If you can do it,
I mean, yeah,
I'm not mad at that. Everybody cuts their own deal.
So does Howard. Howard takes a ridiculous amount of time off. Almost.
His is an awesome amount of days off.
Preposterous.
Like, it's got it. Like, he's got to know, right? He's got to know it's a joke. He's got to. There's no way he can feel good about it. Like, you think at some point in time, like, you think when he's sitting there at night or whatever and he's having a glass of wine, he's like, yo, dude, I got off like 300 days this year. Like, I have no work for like 300 days.
That's
awesome.
That's how I'd feel.
You can't hate him for it.
To be that good or at one time be so good that at the current time you just work for huge bucks at your own schedule, which is very light.
I remember when he first started at Satellite, there was somebody. There's always gonna be somebody that's counting stats and words and data and crunching and all this stuff. And there was a guy. He was like, with his current contract and how much he speaks, how many words they were like broke it down to like he gets paid X amount of dollars per word he speaks. I'm going, what an awesome thing. To be able to go, yeah. That's how much I make per word. God bless him.
Dark Manson says you can private stream on YouTube.
What do you mean?
He's trying to see. I think he's trying to figure out how for me to stream. But that's not on VIP. Never mind. I can't get into that. I'll go back and look at that, though. That's a lot of words.
You're never going to go back and look at that. You're never going to do it. Don't kid yourself. Dark Manson, whoever you are, he's not going to go look at it. He needs to do it now or it's never going to happen. So we might as well just sit here, Mike.
Oh, I've lost it now.
Oh, see?
All right. Okay, I'm looking. Oh, here it is. Dark Passenger.
Okay.
private stream on YouTube Live. On YouTube Live, you would change the feed from public to unlisted, and only people with a link would be able to find the stream. You still need to adhere to YouTube's terms and conditions.
Oh, yeah, I'm lost. What?
Yeah, so I'd have to, like, send out the link to the VIPers if they wanted to chat.
I see.
We do a live VIP. I'll look into it.
Dark Passenger, he's never going to look into it. I'm not. Like, ever.
No.
But if you do want to listen to the Hang Overtime at clusterfshow.com, you can. It's just not going to be a live thing at this moment in time. And if you want to download us on Spotify and all that stuff, you check us out at The Hang. And I don't know how to do that. I've found us on Spotify. I think it was accidentally.
If you search The Hang.
Now it's Hang. Yeah, you search The Hang, and I think it pops up.
It's a pop. We're a pop-up show.
We're one of those.
Next week, we're going to be Tuesday at 3 p.m.
I think we should, for real.
Just to see.
Our goal is to just get one listener. Like, we want to dwindle it and make it so there's just one person.
You know, you never know. Like, the stupidest things, like if you said, okay, we're the pop-up show, and you know, and we pop up at any time. One time we popped up on a Monday at 4 a.m.
Yep.
You know, and for some stupid reason, you become huge. That's, you know, and it's like, that's just the way it seems to be. People like stupid. They like the stupider the better.
Quirky.
We're overthinking it. I don't want to overthink it. I just want to hang.
Yeah, we're just hanging. It's all good. Let me see.
It's like, yeah, I really don't. I don't think I'd change the show at all.
No,
it's not really a show. We're just hanging out.
We're just hanging,
and we like to talk on microphones. That's our hobby. We could actually do this show. We forget. We'll stop. You know, we retire, and we'll just come over and we'll just have the microphones and headphones.
What was that old, like, when you were a kid, they had a little Mr. Microphone? We'll just have two Mr. Microphones.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Hey, Mike, how are you? Good to see you. You see Flair getting kicked out of that restaurant?
Yeah.
Told
you. He's just an alcoholic,
I told
you
that guy's on the brink of, like, he moved to this town, and his ego just got inflated. Yeah. He took Hogan's spot in this city. Made his mark. Everybody kissed his ass. He went to all these bars, and now he thinks he can go to anywhere and do the same shit.
Yeah.
So he went to some pizzeria in Gainesville, and they're like, I don't think so, sir. I don't know. Maybe they knew who he was. I'm sure somebody in there knew who he was.
They were cutting him off, right?
You don't cut Flair off.
That's what he was saying.
Flair doesn't cut Flair off.
It's like... It's just like he's an old drunk. You could tell he was drunk, you know, and he's just an old drunk now, and he's milking the system as an old drunk, and sometimes that comes back, and people are like, yeah, you're Ric Flair and all, but you're being a real asshole, old fucking 75-year-old drunk right now.
His fucking sunspots and liver spots and his slick back hair and his fancy suit. Let's strip it down, bro.
It only takes you so far.
Strip it down.
I mean, when Ric Flair is, you know, 80, nobody's going to give him free drinks for going,
He's in a home in a wheelchair. I'm wheeling and dealing. Woo!
Let me tell you,
doing wheelies in his wheelchair in a assisted living facility.
I don't think he's getting free oatmeal. Every week he gets the free oatmeal. Let me tell you three things. No, I forgot. It's not going to be pretty. And that's what's going to happen. Can you imagine? He'll be like sitting doing TikToks from the old folks home. Whoa! Making $17 a week.
What a great, what a gimmick.
What a gimmick. It's a good gimmick.
What a gimmick. Yeah.
I think he likes to drink.
I think he's on the verge, man.
Of what? You know, He's lasted a long time for a professional wrestler who's taken as many bumps as he has and worked as long as he had.
Well, then he also said he had a heart attack in the ring in his last match. Like, he legit said he had a heart attack. And some people might say that to, like, fake it or whatever, or, like, look for sympathy. I looked at that and I go, yeah, that makes sense. Like, he should have never been in the ring. Like, why is he in there? And of course he's going to have a heart attack in the ring. Like,
how old is he? 75. He's 75. Oh, he's still taking bumps and shit. It's like, oh, how's he not breaking a hip? How is he not breaking a hip?
He could have broken a hip in the last match he had, too. We don't know.
Oh.
The guy's an animal.
I think he just has to do it.
I give him credit for being an animal, but at the same time, it's almost like he's got, like, Madonna syndrome, right? Like, Madonna's, like, 65, and there's people around Madonna or going, ew, don't do that. Like, what are you doing that for, Madonna? Like, stop it. You're 65. Yeah. Don't masturbate on stage. Nobody cares. I almost feel like Flair's in that territory, or he's becoming sort of a human joke where it's like, hey, look, feed him a vodka and get him to woo like a carny.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Like, you know, it's like
a trained monkey. Yeah,
shots for woos. Oh.
And then, the drunker and you're like, laugh.
Give him another
laughing.
One. Give him another shot. Make him woo again.
And then everybody starts throwing peanuts at him. It's a sad scene. It's a sad scene.
I think he's on the verge of that.
He is 75. Look,
it's okay.
You know, no matter how cool the woo was, you know, once you get, you know, in your late 70s,
you might want to retire the woo.
Just doesn't have quite the impact.
And and furthermore, he's got that strut, right? He's got the old Ric Flair strut. But at some point in time, you lose the strut and you're going to need a cane. And then it really makes you look bad because now you're on a cane. And then everybody's like going, oh, that's the next evolution.
Walker.
Yeah, Walker and doing shots of vodka.
But 75, think of all the drugs he's done. Think of all the partying he's the drinking he's done, all the bumps he's taken. He's got good genes. That's all it is. He's got good genes. 70 freaking five. I wouldn't be able to walk if I'd been through all he'd been through. Man, just think.
You're right on that.
75.
That is pretty incredible.
He's still like cutting his forehead with pop top, you know, lids in bars to get. Some jalapeno poppers.
Flair, thank you for bleeding on our table. Here's a free order of calamari.
Dirty game.
We appreciate you taking a bump in our restaurant.
Come on, Rick. Well, just one time.
Woo! Here's a shot, Rick.
I bet it doesn't sound like this either.
Woo!
It doesn't sound like,
yeah.
Woo! Oh, it's sad.
He's lost that gait.
Do you want me to during the VIP we can play the Macklemore song. He's written a Gaza song.
Macklemore wrote a song about Gaza.
Pro Gaza, pro Palestine song. So,
and we can't do that here because it's a or we can do it here.
No, we can't. We can't.
Oh,
do it
okay.
Later.
Well, then yeah. I didn't know Macklemore was still.
I didn't know he's still around. He dropped off the face of the earth. You know, I mean, he was pretty odd for a while.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
He was the Ric Flair of rap.
He's in bars in Seattle.
Don't you know how I am, Macklemore? Woo!
Shink thrift shop for a shot.
Yeah, man, I'm good with that.
But right now, I can explain to you the Gaza situation. I figured.
Be careful here. Be careful about the Gaza situation.
I know it's a tightrope. I figured it out.
Let's hear it.
Okay, remember the BLM when those riots happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like the reason behind those was George Floyd and George whatever the you believe whatever. He was an unsavory character.
Mm.
A history of robbery and robbing a pregnant woman. He's on fentanyl. You know, very unattractive man as well. So you picked a really unlikely hero, a man who was getting arrested, to be the basis for these riots. When just around the same time, I can't remember, was it Brianna somebody? She got shot by cops who busted in on her apartment.
Yes.
And they blew her away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like she was a much more sympathetic character, and it was the same kind of deal. You know, the cops coming and shooting, you know, probably because, you know, it was a black house full. They came in, guns a-blazing. Mm. But they didn't pick her. They picked George Floyd because they immediately want half the population to go, we're doing this over this guy? So you've got 50-50 division, right?
Right.
Because nobody wants cops to, you know, abuse black people. Mm-hmm. Nobody does. But you made people, you made half the country step back and go, these protests are bullshit. And but this Gaza thing is, you've taken possibly a just cause. There does seem to be an entire area being obliterated and a lot of people being killed. So I could see how you might, say that's a bad thing. But they take a very unlikable segment of the population, which is punky ass snowflake college kids with purple hair, and they pay them to do it, and they pay them to go to the extreme, like support Hamas, and all that shit. And now everybody supports your Israeli funding. The people that matter, and they want those kids. They want to see their heads busted. So nobody's supporting Palestine now. Nobody. When it might be true.
But wait, I thought people were supporting Palestine.
The students. Nobody. They don't know. They don't know shit. Half of them are paid, and the other half couldn't find Gaza on a map. They were just told. They're just doing it to be cool. Insta, they don't know. There's genocides going on all the time. They never said boo.
I think that there's a certain amount of the population, not saying I'm one of these, by the way, take me out of it. I'm looking at this objectively.
Yes.
I think there's a certain amount of the population that would be afraid to say that they understand the plight of the Palestinian. It's not a sexy argument. But it's becoming increasingly
unsexy.
See,
and that's what they want.
But it's also becoming unsexy too with the Israel argument, right? So now it's like, okay, before, Palestine, that was not sexy. But Israel just keeps bombing them. So it's like, that's becoming less attractive too, right? So now, like, both of them are, like, you understand the plight of both, but they're both not very sexy right now.
They're making the Palestine so unsexy because what are you getting bombarded with now? I mean, everything's about anti-Semitism. They just passed that bill in the House. The Congress just passed a bill. You better not be anti-Semitic. And it's like, well, what's going on with that? They just sent them $26 billion. They're getting everything they want.
Yeah, I don't know what's in that bill.
$26 billion.
Well, I don't know, but like anytime they use words like that to frame the bills, it just reminds me of the Patriot Act. Yep. It just takes you back to that, or takes me back to that place. And again, I don't know the details of it, but just talking off the top of my head, it's like, Patriot Act. Oh, that seemed like a good thing. And then you realize that, it's kind of intrusive and there was a lot more to it, right?
And then you see...
It's just words.
You see people coming over the border, right and left, undocumented. When you got to give three forms of ID and an electric bill to get a driver's license. So they don't give a shit about it, do they? Do they?
They just
come right on in. And these people, they're coming from Pakistan, from China, from all over the world.
Yeah.
It's not a Mexican immigrant thing. It's not a South America. It's people are pouring across the border, undocumented, from every country across the world.
But if you frame something as the anti-Semitic bill, and of course nobody should be racist or framing things that way. I get it, right? Like, I'm not Jewish people. Doesn't matter to me. Like, fine, whatever, right?
Yep.
But if you frame it and you say anti-Semitic, if you vote against that, then you automatically
exactly
look like a target of somebody who's being racist or a bigot, yep, or something, just because of the framing of the words of the bill. It's like with Patriot Act. If you voted against the Patriot Act,
but you're not a patriot.
What? You don't love America? What's your problem? Like, it's just in the wording of the bill. That's all they have to do is word it correctly to frame the mindset to where the Chiron on the news screen can easily read, name the politician, votes against the Patriot Act, votes against the, you know, all this stuff. And it's, and no politician wants to look terrible to the country. So you go with it because you don't want to be anti anything.
And that's how
it works. You want to be a patriot.
You want to be a patriot. I don't know about so I don't know about you. In my entire life, I've never witnessed any anti-Semitism.
Again, we touched on this before. Yes. But just one time up in New York, and it was from somebody that we both know.
Well, yeah.
But literally, that was about it.
It's an outlier. Yeah.
It was, you know, from there. I mean, look, dude. All I know is when I was 13, I went to a girl I went to school with, and she had a, is it bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah?
Bar mitzvah.
I don't know which one.
I think bat mitzvah is for a girl, right?
Whatever one was for the girl.
Oh, that's a bat mitzvah.
Okay. They knew how to party. I didn't even know she was Jewish. I didn't know what the difference was. I had no clue at all. All I know is she got up there and read a bunch of Hebrew, and we partied at, you know, 13 years old. I was like, this is the greatest party I've ever been to. I don't care what, I don't care what's going on. Yeah. This is just a great, God, her parents are rad, you know, like, so no, I didn't experience any of that. And I never really was around it. I'm sure probably some of it's regional. A portion.
Unless, you know, you move to Alabama and your name is Greenberg, I don't think anybody's going to even know you're Jewish, right?
I would have never even put those pieces together. Like, for real. I just never would have.
And that used to be more of a thing. As we talk about, you know, things just go away because nobody's communicating anymore. Like, those were the average Jewish name was something like that, with a Steen or a Berg. And I don't think people even know that anymore.
I personally, you know, just never
They don't even think about it anymore. There's no anti. That's how you know this is all bullshit. There ain't no anti. Maybe these protesters and fucking 19 and 20 year olds who are, you know,
the baby riot season.
It's not even a real riot. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, it's pissing me off. It's like it's not even believable. There's so much shit going on that affects young people. Like, you know, like I was telling my daughter, you ain't going to be able to buy a house probably unless, you know, you start making six figures a year. You know, it's just that. And even then, Lord knows if you're going to be able to buy a house.
That's the thing. The only thing that affects me in my life is the economy. That's really it. All the other noise, it's all noise. Like, you know, they can spray you with it, right? But it's all kind of noise.
It's all noise.
In reality, the only thing that's I'm looking at is the prices of shit. That's all I'm looking at. And I'm going, okay, that's not good. That's all I know. And I don't know if you've got the your email pulled up or whatever. I sent something. The government, there's one of my emails is about the government printing money. Yes. And I don't know if you saw this clip or not.
I may have, but we'll watch it.
It totally is just fitting for the way we run shit.
And like as you were saying,
the U.S. government.
Oh, I saw this. this is good. This is the current Biden's current like head of the economy. You know,
yes,
the head of the economy or something. This is all you need to know.
The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
The chair of the Council of Economic Advisors for President Joseph Biden.
I mean, he's a chair.
The chair. This is the guy.
The top guy on economic issues.
Obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money and it definitely lends that money, which is why Now, the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do?
I mean, it's not even believable. This is the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors.
You imagine him and Joe Biden in a room together just chopping it up?
What the hell is going on? See, politics has always been a dirty game and a shady business. But, never before had the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors come out as a complete blithering idiot. People would have been, did you see that guy? Now it's just like, whatever.
Better you defer and go, look, it's a complicated situation. And, as a government, just know that we will hold steady. Like, whatever. This guy's completely miffed.
I mean, I think you should know it. Like the back of your hand is what you should. what happened? Here we go. I went back to here we go.
They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
A lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no.
Let's see, just like brushes by modern, that's MMT, modern monetary theory, which is just keep printing money and propping everything up, and everything will be great. So they came up with their own economic theory to justify getting $35 trillion in debt, and then we pay $1 trillion a year on the debt.
We are broke.
We're broke. We pay our biggest expenses are debt. How crazy is that? But thank God this guy's in charge.
No question that the government prints money, and then it uses that money to...
Right.
So, I guess I'm just, I don't, I can't really talk. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Wow.
He doesn't get it.
Because he can't explain it really because it's a big scam.
How weird is it? He doesn't get it. He's the guy who's supposed to get it. And he doesn't get it.
I mean, how does he not get it?
How's anybody else supposed to get it if this guy doesn't get it?
And how does this guy... They didn't tell him, all right, you need one. All you need to know is the answer to one question. How it works.
You're the economic guy. We're going to interview about economics. Okay.
I mean, this guy, if this was like a test interview, this guy would have, he'd been fired.
He's the Joe Biden of economics.
I mean, this guy, he sounds lucid, but he doesn't know nothing about
it. There was a guy.
Nothing.
He had curly hairs.
At least Joe Biden gives us some bizarre things. This guy's just a blithering idiot.
Edit. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time, and it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So, I don't think there's anything confusing there.
He said nothing.
Oh,
that's who's in charge. That's who's in charge. That's who's in charge. Of all the billions of dollars, trillions of dollars.
If you take nothing else away from the hang, take it as an ominous warning about what is going on.
That's some fucked up shit.
I feel like we're the George Carlin of the podcast world, where Carlin late in his career was just like, he's just warning everybody.
There was
a comedic slant to it, but he was just warning people. Like, that's what we're... It's not good.
Yeah, it's like, there's a lot of people, there's more people talking about this than there used to be. And they all suck. It's like, man, how did these jabrones ace Cluster F back in the day that's all we used to talk about on Cluster F is the anti-government stuff. Remember, we could have been the cutting edge with Ledge. Mm. What was the name of his show?
Dangerous Conversation.
We were right up there, but it was like squandered. Squandered is my favorite word. Squandered.
You know what the funniest part, not funny, it's actually quite sad. Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger, who Scott Ledger was an amazing talent, and he was an amazing jock, and we hired him on at Radio IO, and he was an amazing kind of conspiracy-driven talent, right? Great at spoken word, etc. Like really, really good.
Yeah.
And he debated Tucker Carlson. I set up this debate between him and Tucker, And Tucker ate his lunch. Okay. There's just no other way around it. Ledge is asking questions about 9/11 and blah, 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 blah. Right. Now you fast forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
A decade.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson now is the very same person that now questions everything that Ledge was questioning back in the day. He will question 9/11. He questions alien life. He questions all these things.
Yes, actually, he doesn't question the Kennedy assassination. He comes right on and says, the CIA killed Kennedy.
And he also says, yeah, I feel badly about my stance that I had back in the day because I feel as though I wasn't open to other opinions and sort of, you know, looking at other facts, right? Just wasn't open-minded. Ledge was open-minded. And Ledge came before his time. And now Tucker, who ate his lunch in that debate, is now Ledge. Tucker is Ledge.
It's true.
Glenn Beck is Ledge. These people have opened their eyes. They've gotten fucking red-pilled, finally. But it's all too late. Like, if they would have opened their eyes a long time ago, it would have been better. It's the same thing with Chris Cuomo and his fucking take on ivermectin.
You. Fuck that guy.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's insulting. You
disingenuous prick. Like, you peddled the ivermectin theory just like everybody else, and he can say that they told us wrong information. Bitch, you're the journalist. You know exactly what's going on. You're supposed to have a free thinking mindset. You did not. You fucked up. Own it. Admit it, say you were wrong, and apologize to the public for doing it. Don't say, you know, he kind of skips past that now. But it's like, dude, you misled millions of Americans daily with your takes. And never once did you question anything until you got fired from CNN.
Exactly.
Now you question it.
As a journalist, you know, he's a talking head, but as a journalist, wouldn't you naturally be researching the entire COVID-19 experience?
Or your staff of 100 people.
You know, I know I was.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody, you don't have to, you know, he was giving the wrong information. Well,
form your own opinion.
Ivermectin is factually non-harmful. It's an FDA-approved drug. You can take it. And so he could have found that out in like 20 seconds. So he's a piece of shit.
Yes. And every time I see him promoting him going on with Bill O'Reilly and they're going to chop it up together and give each other hand jobs, these two brain trusts who both are equally as disingenuous in their own ways, in their own separate worlds,
completely
have collided into this giant dildo fest of talking heads.
It's disgusting.
Not a fan. Now get off my lawn.
See, Bill O'Reilly came by when I was on the Power Pig, and I was like, he was like such a douche.
Mm.
Which, you know, like, if you just watch his show, you could tell he'd be a douche, and he was exactly how you think he was. It's a real fucking smug.
Smarmy,
pretentious, I'm a hot shit douche. And Chris Cuomo's the exact... I mean, it should be proof positive. Chris Cuomo, super duper CNN left wing guy. He gets fired. All of a sudden, he's Newsmax and he's had revelations. He's a fucking phony ass piece of shit. Yeah,
it's crazy what I believe now. Now that I'm not getting my paycheck from them. Come on.
Chris Cuomo really came around. But didn't come around.
And that was the same thing, you know, with Tucker when he got fired from Fox. You could see it in Tucker's opinions. You could watch his show and go, this dude is not following Fox's narrative anymore. Slowly, it was dripping. It was dripping. And then it was like, boom, exploded. And now Tucker is more of a free thinker.
Or is he the ultimate charlatan?
Hmm.
He's really good. That doesn't mean he's really genuine. I'd like to think, because it's...
Even if he's a charlatan, at least he's giving an opposing point of view... In general, right? I'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take that. Even if he's faking it, at least he's opening it up, opening the conversation up. But I'm mad that conversation that he had with Ledge back in the day, a dangerous conversation, I'm mad that he didn't open his mind up at that point in time and instead made Scott not look great in that debate. But Scott, meanwhile, was actually really good in that debate. It was just ahead of his time.
So either Tucker was awakened or he just decided to make money in a different way. Don't know. Because yeah. I used to watch him, you know, it's like, I don't watch Fox. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like right-wing bullshit. But he would like tell the truth. He'd be the only one talking about shit that I'd be like, yeah, I agree with Tucker. And people hate him and call him a lunatic and he's full of shit. And it's like, I'm just a common sense guy, man. And he says a lot of common sense shit.
Mm-hmm.
Get off my lawn.
All right.
Good talk. Good conversation.
Thanks for tuning into The Hang. No show tomorrow.
Ooh.
Busy at the shop. No Ned in Your Head Friday. Ned After Dark Friday night. Ned After Dark Friday night. Right now we're going to do some Hang overtime. We're going to get another cocktail. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you Friday night.
See ya.